Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
Hey, Mac.
Hold on, turn my volume up.
I said I would dress appropriately.
Hey, yes, that's awesome, man.
You didn't see that coming. I saw your, when you watch this, you'll see your expression.
That's all right, awesome.
Thanks. So because of the topic, I wear this, but I can change into a shirt if you want. You let me know.
Go for it, bro. I'm all about it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I don't mind myself, but...
And right. That's kind of the point of everything that I am. Beyond Lifestyles is based, and we'll probably talk about it a little later, but to give you a little backstory, Beyond Lifestyles is represented by a 3 and an equal sign, which is basically our BDSM, poly, and swinger. And then our equal sign is equal kink and equal rights for all lifestyles. So LGBT or whatever your kink is, you know, we want to support and grow together as a kink community. I thought I'd wear my shirt, so tried to be sponsorship appropriate.
Today we have our guest. Our guest today is Mike Stiles. Mike Stiles is the author of the book Sex, Chicken, and Cocoa Butter. And the book can be found on Amazon. And the book is about introduction of swinging, BDSM, polyamorous, and much more. And Mike's focus on helping others to live out their fantasies and how to not repeat the same mistakes that he had done in his journey. Mac has been in the lifestyle for over 13 years. And so in a topic of the show, so you see what I'm wearing, which is a surprise for Mac and to me as well, because I was like, oh, wait a minute, Aspen. All right, cool. So I'm back. All right, so I will post all his links on the show notes, so please check him out. And welcome to the show, Mac. I appreciate you being here, and this is going to be good, so I'm excited.
Thank you so much, Zen. It's a great opportunity to have this conversation with you. I always enjoy spreading my message, and I hope this is going to be a great podcast. Let's do it.
Yeah, totally. So tell us who you are and what brings you joy.
So who I am, Mac Stiles, I went through an incredible journey, nothing like you've ever seen. And I just happened to get it all on paper. And so it started as stress relief, getting out all my thoughts on the paper. And then once I realized that this couldn't happen to anybody else any other way, I started writing it all down. And once I published it, so many other people identified with it. And so many people, said, hey, I went through a lot of the same situations. Please, you know, keep writing. So that really inspired me and encouraged me. So that that got me to where I was. And then I started Beyond Lifestyles, which is my kink group, more or less, where we celebrate other people's kinks and lifestyles and just have adult conversations. And what brings me joy? I'm recently married again, right? So you'll see in my second book how everything happened. But my wife right now is bringing me a lot of joy. We're having a lot of fun. This is our first time in America. She's Brazilian, and we have been traveling and, you know, just having a blast right now.
Awesome. Wow, that's great. So you're traveling. So is the traveling just for pleasure or for promoting the book or for business?
Yeah, so I try to turn everything into book promotions and having fun because I want to spread my message and I want my wife to have fun as well. So it's both. I definitely find a way to make it both. For example, I just went to Virginia the other day and had people asking me for autographs. So I took the drive to see out some fans and signed some books. So it was awesome.
Nice, nice. In the business that you're in, how important it is to get rid of shame, guilt, and fear that one has for themselves due to the judgments of others?
This is a constant battle, and I'm glad you brought it up. To me, for me, and I'll speak a lot of myself personally and hope others relate, I'll tie this back into my book. I tried so hard at first to be the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect, everything I was supposed to be. And I wasn't happy. My wife wasn't happy at the time. And I wasn't true to myself, concerned with what other people would think. And still a lot of it, lifestyle stuff, you can't bring it out to work. You can't be completely open with everything. So it's hard for a lot of people. So I think being true to yourself has given me a lot, or being true to myself has brought me a lot of happiness. Just knowing what you want to do, who you want to be, and just being unapologetically yourself. I hope that answers your question, because I really believe that if you're yourself, you're a lot happier. Because I had all the money. I had houses, I had cars, I had no problem getting the things that I want, but I was miserable. And now that my ex-wife has all my money, but I'm much more happier. So it was definitely worth it.
Right. Yeah, most certainly. It is very important to be happy within yourself. You don't need to go and advertise what you do in private, but at the same time, if you're ashamed of those things, it's going to bring depression and stress and all this stuff. Who's going to find out? I got an email from somebody that says, this is your password in your email, and we can hack your camera and show you jerking off to porn. And I was going to respond, and I just didn't respond, but my response would be like, please do make me famous. And while you're at it, it's my OnlyFans tag.
Exactly. And my
hamster. Like, go for it. Like, the fuck?
Please promote my OnlyFans, yes.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And so I do get it. It's sad that I have a big guess it's probably because of religion, how people are so ashamed of body and the sex act that mostly all of us do. So I'm totally over that. Like 2020, I got an OnlyFans, although, well, I won't say it. I got an OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah, say it.
Oh, I'll edit that part out, but there's no nudes on there and people go and they expect nudes and I still make my money.
But I need to do that. My OnlyFans is all nudes, so it just happens to be my wife. I just help promote my wife. Nobody comes to see Mac.
Yeah, it's a trick that I learned. There's a girl that says she just takes pictures of her ankles and her feet, and guys go in there, they're thinking they're going to see for JJ, and they're wrong, and she makes thousands a week.
never post the full Monty. You never post the full. You upcharge for all that. If you want to do that, you upcharge.
Yes, definitely. I sold a 3 minutes video for $20. I was like, who's gonna buy it? And it did. I was like, wow, okay.
I've sold, I won't say that either. I've sold them quite a few 3 minute videos. We won't say how much.
Yeah. Yeah, it works. So with the shame and the guilt and the fear that someone's going to find out, I saw, especially in 2020 when OnlyFans was booming, how teachers were online being all sad that they got fired. And I'm like, she's like, I made more than my teaching salary and I got fired. And I was like, then what are you crying about? Like, keep going. You got to find out. Keep going.
Yeah. Now you don't have that same restraint on you. See what you can possibly do now.
Exactly. So what is the style about? Like, let's say someone don't know. What is...
Oh, the lifestyle?
Yeah, what is lifestyle?
Ask me about that. So lifestyle is originally a swinger term. And the swinger community was this really hush-hush thing back in the 80s and started, but with social media, it just kind of blossomed into everybody's having a party. Everybody's, you know, doing something now. So lifestyle initially, like I said, started out as a swinger, but now it's been incorporated to take on BDSM or the leather community, so to speak. And any kind of real kink that you're into that isn't, you know, the monogamous vanilla, so to speak, that everyone's kind of accustomed to. So LS or lifestyle just takes on that role of the kink community.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, monogamous, that's a myth anyway. 99% myth.
Absolutely. I would totally agree. And for something that is so hard for us to maintain, we put so much pressure on it. So much. It's like you mess up one time, you lose your house, you lose your family, you lose your cars, you lose all that stuff for the fear of cheating. When, and in the swinger community, you're praised for it. You and your wife are going into something together without lies, without cheating, which is so freeing and so, I don't know, it's just brought us so much joy. I can't, if you do it right without jealousy and being mad all the time, it has been a real just stress relief.
Right.
In my book, I always started out wanting to do things, even though I didn't know the term lifestyle. I didn't know swinger terms or whatever. I just knew that I wanted to be with other people, with my wife. I didn't want to go out and step out on her. But I did want to do things and experiment. She always said she would be good with it. She'd be good with it. And then when it came to do it, there was always an excuse not to do it. And then finally, it kind of exploded in her face. I found a girl who was willing to do it. And then my wife kind of jumped on board afterwards. But by then, I was already happy with the other girl. And I kind of brought them both in together. And I started my polyamorous relationship, which was the complete wrong way to do it. But I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this book is a lot of what not to do. I did this completely wrong without education. And I can look back on it now and say, wow, what an idiot I was. If I would have just done these certain things, I could have had the best of both worlds. I could have had everything. Mm-hmm. But I had messed things up so badly that, like I said, it's worthy of a movie. So I definitely encourage to see all the drama and craziness that I went through to make this a reality. But definitely is not a book about education or what to do. I had one review here recently, a couple months ago, that said that I was full of, I'm teaching the wrong thing. Don't take any of my advice. I reposted. I said, you're absolutely right. Do not take any of my advice. I was horrible. I am not the good guy in this book. I was miserable. I was upset with my life. I couldn't be myself. And I found an outlet, and it was just the wrong way to go about things.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Most books that I read is usually empowering or self-help books. And so even hearing what you're saying, and I read your reviews, and what you just said is empowering, because you admit your flaws and where you are wrong, and you're telling people not to go on that same route. That's a beautiful message. I love that.
That's what a lot of the people who read the book kind of get out of it. Like, I've been the jealous person. I've done these things, you know, now I can see how my husband kind of felt, or I can see how my wife felt, and apply those things. Cause I wrote everything in the moments. Like, these are the things that are happening. I copied text messages and I put them in my book, exactly what I wrote, exactly things that I had said. And so you get a lot of raw emotion out of this from exactly the viewpoint where I was at the time.
Wow. Totally different. That's awesome. So why is the lifestyle underground?
Just because of what we said before, you can't bring it to work. You can't tell your friends and stuff about it, because you're looked at different, especially in the corporation world, and the podcasts and Facebook, social media, on computer, you can be whoever you want to be. And that's very freeing. But in the real world and corporate world, it's still looked down on. And a lot of that comes with, people have clearances or don't want to have their business out on the streets, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so that is still, I think the LGBTQ community went through a lot of that too. Now it's very open and everybody can wave their rainbow flag freely and proudly, which they should be able to. It's just not that way for swinging communities or more or less maybe poly communities at this moment, but I'm hoping that it would be one day.
I thought with 2020, everything that didn't work should be out of the window or in the trash basket. Yes, that's. I'm doing my best to not give a what anymore about how people see me or think about me, because I know who I am. So however they see me that's not aligned to who I am is like, what's his name? Bobby Brown say, it's your prerogative. So yeah. So what is behind the book's title?
Okay, so the name of the book, yes. What had happened was my wife didn't want me to see my girlfriend on this work trip that I had to do. My wife was surprising me, and I brought my girlfriend down there with me, and she was like, Mac, the room smells like sex, chicken and cocoa butter. We had just ate. We had just fucked, and she had just showered and lotioned all up and everything. She's like, Mac, the room smells like sex, chicken, and goat butter. She's going to know that it was me. That's my call sign. And I was like, it was just a play on all the trouble I was getting myself into. It's a play on words for all the drama and craziness that I was bringing upon myself and lying, cheating, stealing, lying, cheating, and just going through all the things, trying to fill my happy cup full and not worrying about the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, stealing coochie.
It was given freely. I don't know. That was still a little rakey. I wasn't stealing no coochie.
Going back to how you were saying the relationship part with the monogamy and then getting girlfriend was not the right way to process to do it. I have noticed the same, because I've often been in monogamous relationships until I realized that I'm poly. And then now in my current state of being single, whenever someone want to be in a relationship, I tell them, hey, I've been monogamous. I can do monogamous and I haven't cheated. Although I don't believe in the word cheating, I have a different perspective on it, but I'm poly and whatever. And people will be like, okay, I'll be fine with it. And I'll get in relationship with them. And then they're not fine with it. And the funny thing is, in the whole relationship, they're thinking I'm gonna cheat and they have fear and all this stuff. And most of this relationship, they're the one who go out and cheat first, mm-hmm. and then come back and be like, oh my God, I did this. And I was like, no, and I forgive them. I don't even forgive because I don't care. So there's no, because I feel like in order to forgive you, you needed to judge first. And I didn't even judge them. I didn't care. I was like, okay, I know that at least 98% of humans are poly. Even if you've been monogamous and then you die monogamous, like there's part of you probably, if the shoe fits, you probably wanted to do it. And the action of you didn't do it doesn't mean that you weren't a poly person. And so I had to embrace myself.
I'll rebuttal that. I don't know if we're using the word poly in the right sense. If they are in a relationship with you and they cheat on you, I don't want to associate that with poly, right? So if they're in a relationship with you and they have another relationship with somebody else and you know about it and it's open and it's clean and it's not lying, then I think we're on the right tracks of poly. There's many, yeah. many different ways to poly, but I don't want to say that I'm in a relationship and they cheated on me, so they're poly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, well, what I was getting at is kind of like, I feel like a lot of people are getting on the monogamous train, but they're really not. So they probably are poly, but then for some reason, because of shame or guilt or judgment and fear, they call themselves monogamous. Absolutely. But then that's where the cheating comes in, because I feel like cheating, or that word, or when you cheat on a paper, you are lying to yourself, or you're lying to the world, and you have to do something so no one can see you, and covering up and all this stuff. That is cheating. For me, cheating does not mean you slept with somebody. Cheating is all the fear and the shame and the lie that you have for yourself. And so that's when they cheat, I was like, okay, I don't call it, I don't see that as cheating.
That's a really good way to look at it. Because I can do, you know, sex with anybody. No, but me and my wife, I'm not going to say we're open, but we're not closed either. If she has sex with somebody, I just want to know about it. Just tell me and see if I'm free. Maybe I can join or whatever. We have a little girlfriend now. And this is my wife's first real poly relationship. We lived in Spain for 4 years, and we had somewhat of a girlfriend over there, but she lived so far away. So we got to see her every once in a while. But my wife now, just being in the relationship now, she's facing some of those, you know, those fears about, am I talking behind her back? Am I doing something? So it's baby steps. When you get into those relationships and you tell them that you're poly, because I mean, I got the tattoo. I told her before I was married, this is what I want. This is who I am. I took her to her first swinger party. You know, everything sex-wise, she's happy. It's just having the relationship with the other girl she's a little anxious about. So, I mean, it's baby steps. It's education. It's telling them, you know, how I feel, or you know, this is okay. You wouldn't do that to a regular girlfriend. We're treating this girl as our girlfriend. If you did that to me, if I can only talk to you in a group chat, right? And you put those barriers up and you say, you can only do these things with your girlfriend. Would you be my girlfriend if I told you that? You know what I mean?
I like that.
So you have to treat people, there isn't really a hierarchy. I mean, some polys there are. There's not one way to poly, but there shouldn't be a hierarchy in a poly relationship, especially a triad. You're the wife, you're the girlfriend. No, you guys are equal. We are, you know, working as a team now. And that's kind of the way that it should be, without secrets or lies or jealousy or any of that. It's a really hard thing to do, but if you pull it off, it is absolutely magical.
Yeah. I haven't been in a successful even poly relationship, but the way I would think it would work is to get a relationship with another poly person who agrees to be poly, instead of someone who's either on the fence, who doesn't know, or who thinks they're monogamous, because then there's going to be all this drama, right?
There's going to be drama, but I wasn't the same swinger or poly person that I was 15 years ago either. Everybody's on their own walk. Everybody has their own education. And I told my wife, if this isn't something that we've tried and you really don't like it, then I'm going to support you 100%, and we'll go and we'll just be swingers. We'll just go to parties and have fun with people like we've been doing. Cause I do have a good time. I'm not really at heart a swinger anymore. I have the brands. I don't want to say it's more of a business, cause I do have fun with it too, but I'm much more poly at heart, and I'd rather just have my triad and kind of do like you and start my own podcast and talk about it when I have more time.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have rules with your wives, and what are those, if you can share?
Rules with my wife.
Because everyone have different rules. Because example, when I tend to be more on the LGBT like website. So if I go on Grindr, for example, and then there's a couple, sometimes couples play together only, and sometimes mm-hmm. they play separately only, and they don't tell each other. And sometimes a guy say, okay, I have to tell, we play separately only, but then I have to tell. So basically everyone can have their own rule, whatever works for them.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. There is no one way, and that's why and I will say this, there's no one way, and even that way is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
When you grow with those people, those rules are going to change. Like, for instance, since me and my wife, one of our first rules were no kissing. I would much rather you fuck my wife's brains out than to watch you make out with her. That was just, it's just more passionate for me. It's more, you really like this guy, or it's not just sex. Mm. It's now something more. And that bugged me for a while, but we had a conversation. She said she wanted to be more, she wanted more kissing, and I worked with her. So I will say that, you know, you can have those rules, but those rules are going to change over time. No matter what you do, there's always going to be that one more thing. Can I do, or whatever. And if you say there's not, then I would have that argument with you, because I've had my ex-wife just tell me, no, I never want another guy. I only want you. And then she found a guy at a club and she's been telling me, oh no, I only want you. I only want you. And then she tries to have sex with him, or kind of, he asked to have sex. I'm like, no, wait, no. And then now I look like a big cock block, right? Because she was telling me no, but now she wants it in the heat of the moment. And now I'm blocking him. And so now the whole mood in the room's off. And there's a story in the book like that. And it's really, looking back on it now, I was like, I thought I was helping her, but now I look like a complete asshole because I'm telling her no on something that she wants when I'm having sex with all these other girls. So it wasn't fair to her, but like I said, I thought I was helping. But it was just miscommunication. There was a lot of miscommunication in this story. Mm-hmm. Back to your question though, rules with my wife. You already know one that we kind of already have passed. Really at this point in my life, I just don't want to be left in the dark and made to feel like an idiot. So if she does something or wants to do something, I would just say, tell me. That's kind of my only rule, and always condoms. I want to have fun, but I don't want to die. So, always condoms. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We both have access to each other's phones. It's just something I've never done. I've never had been comfortable to do in my entire life. It's just here's a password to my phone, have at it, whatever you want to see, I don't care. To me, that's a remarkable step for me personally, because everything happens in my phone.
Why is that? Why access to your phone?
Just for me, the comfort level that I have of being open and honest, I'm not hiding anything. That's not that she goes through it, but she has access to it if she wanted to.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because it hasn't happened, but if my partner would ever go to my phone or take my phone and go through it, I wouldn't have all these thought process. I wouldn't care. Unless if I need the phone for something, I'll be like, when are you done? When are you going to be done? Or da 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 da. Because I'm like, I don't care. Because if they know anyone I speak to, and too bad I'm still single, because a lot of people are lying to themselves, they're monogamous. So if I ever have a poly person, then I know I'm going to sleep with people. And so if they want to go in my phone for whatever reason, I don't care, because it's not like I have something to hide. Just like if anyone would go through my desk or go through my bag, it's like, I don't care. But I do get it. Maybe it's because there's like jealousy there behind all that, or...
So for in my prior relationship, I was so bad. Well, I mean, it was all lies. So I was married to one woman, but I was having another. I was leading this double life with somebody I was happy with. So I was making fake orders so that I could leave. I was coming up with excuses with friends I didn't have. I was just lying and lying and lying to keep up with another lie, And all of it was in my phone. If she just clicked on the right message, you know, and we're talking my wife, somebody I do care about. I didn't want to lose my wife. I just wanted my own happy too. I wanted my cake and eat it too, so to speak. So just for me, being able to be myself and be free, like now, I don't care. Look in my phone. You're absolutely right. It's like looking in my desk or whatever. I'm at the point now where I'm myself. I'm happy with who I am. I'm not cheating on you. I'm not doing anything wrong to you. I'm talking to all these people, yes, to organize parties, to organize events, or even something for her. You know what I'm saying? So I'm at a point, it's freeing to have that feeling of, here, you can have my phone if you want to, whenever you're done. Before, when I didn't have that feeling, I was constantly looking over my shoulder. I had to change my passwords. I had to do all this crazy stuff because I wasn't being true to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's very awesome. So anyone's going to watch this to hear, and me hearing it is very, I'm learning a lot, and I'm very inspired by the honesty and where you know where you were wrong and how you're improving and growing. That's very, there's a word. I can't think of the word right now, but that's pretty awesome. So what is cheating to you? Like, does that exist for you anymore, or yeah, what is cheating?
Absolutely. I mean, sex to me isn't cheating. It's an act, right? Cheating is the lie and the absence of the truth. Like, if you know there's something that you should tell me, but you don't want to tell me, and I have to find out, I think that's cheating, in my own opinion.
Okay, we have the same definition then.
Yeah, because we can have sex with, you know, whoever. My wife, I will go to a bar, and my wife will tap me on the shoulder, and she'll be like, I really like him. I'll go up and get the guy's number. Like, I'm one of those guys that, hey, bro, my wife really likes you.
They'll be like, what the hell? They've been not into that. I'm like, what?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some crazy stories. And it's fun, too, for me, because of that reaction, that same exact reaction. Some guys turn beet fucking red, and they're like, oh, they get so we were on a cruise one day, and I told this guy, we had been watching the Vikings series. And what's the lead character's name in the Viking?
I haven't watched it, but I see it on Netflix.
Oh, right? Yeah, I can't remember his name right now. Ragnar Oxvik, something like that. Anyways, he was like, who wants to be king? And his real Viking, deep voice, full beard, full, like, look like a real, you know, Viking, real macho man. And my wife was like, oh, I really like him. We went to the club, and I told her, I was like, yo, you want to come back to the hotel? We were in Budapest. She was like, you want to come back to the hotel room? Be red turned into like a 5-year-old. Like, there was no more king left in him. He ran back into his little friends and told all of them, and they were just trying to encourage him, and he was just couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
So I have some funny stories from it. It's made for some good times. And if it does come out to be something fun, then good for her. She got what she wanted.
Yeah, I totally want to see a series. I think you probably mentioned either a movie or a TV show about this. This would be nice if that's your goal to do that.
Absolutely. Writing a book and writing a screenplay or writing a movie is two totally different things. I'm completely lost. I'm still trying to YouTube and try to even get my feet wet to find out how to do this.
Yeah.
But I would love it. There's a lot in here where I think would make an amazing movie.
Yeah, certainly. Or even like one series show, that would be great. Just like that. Was it a movie or a show where the 50 Shades of whatever or something? Right. I don't know if you saw that one. Gray, maybe. Yeah. So I have the question. So I know you told me a lot of things, but what led you to write the book? Specifically,
like I said, it started out as almost a journal. I was writing as it was going, not believing that, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in this situation again. I'm married to this wonderful woman who she would tell me she wanted these things, but every time it came to fruition, it was always a problem. There was always drama, and it made it almost not worth it. So it was just, it caused so much heartache and contempt, and it made me really, I don't want to say evil person, but it beat me down every day. I just wanted to stay at work. I didn't want to come home. So writing was kind of my release. And once I found out that, hey, I've got an amazing story here that people need to learn from and not do this, it became inspiring to me to be able to share my story for others, to make sure that, hey, they're not alone in their jealousy and problems that they're going through. And that's kind of been the overall feeling that I get back of people saying, hey, thank you for writing this, because I understand what I'm going through more now. And that was my inspiration, because I would let a few people read it before I published it, obviously. And that was the feeling I got back. And that's exactly what I was going for. So I'm hopeful to reach more people. I'm hopeful to reach and share my story so others know that they're not alone in the problems that they're going through. And I write in all of my books, when I assign them, life is too short. Just be happy and find your happy and hold on to it.
Yes, that's an important message. So you've written about sex addiction. I don't, and please forgive me in advance. I don't want to minimize your journey or anyone else's journey with sex addiction. I cannot understand that concept. So in a sense, I feel like it doesn't really exist. It's just another diagnosis for someone to have something about. But please tell me, what is sex addiction and what was your journey about that?
Anything that you can't stop, right? So gambling, people are addicted to gambling. Would you agree that you could be addicted to gambling? The thrill? Because it's in the same category.
Yeah, that's true. I could say that, but I feel I tend to be a deeper person. I feel like the gamble is not what they're addicted to. They're addicted to something else in their psyche. So the gamble is just happen to be that.
Absolutely. Now apply that to the sensation of feeling good all the time and wanting to keep building on that feeling. You want to keep building on what's next. What can I do next? How's that next high that I'm going to get?
Because usually when people speak of sex addiction, it's like bad. How's that bad? I just don't get that.
I am admitted sex addiction, and I'm not saying. Here's the deal. Here's how it's bad. It's bad the same way it is with gambling. You lose your house, you lose your wife, you lose your kids because you've lost all your money and you're lying about it, right? Okay. So in that same principle, I lost my wife. I lost my kids are in Florida. They're not with me anymore. I went to Spain for 4 years. I was in Cuba for 2 years. They didn't come with me because of all the stuff that I had done and with that wrapped around sex.
Mm.
Okay. All of that is what's wrong with it, because I didn't do it in an open, honest form. I was lying. I was cheating. I was stealing to get my high, to get my happy.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're doing anything and if that thing is a destroyer in your life, then it's not good. That makes sense. Yeah. Because I had a friend, he texted me, said, I'm going to try to start jerking off less or not, or stop watching porn. And I ask him, I wanted to be supportive. So I ask him why. And he says, like, he feels bad, or like, I don't think he did not mention addiction, but like, he feels like it was wrong that he was doing too much, whatever. And I'm like, I mean, if you're doing it in the bathroom at work, on your desk after hours and things like that, or on the street or on the train, like, you cannot help yourself, then you need help. It's serious.
Right.
But if you're just like doing it before you want to go to bed, or you're watching
porn, even in your office at work, I wouldn't even say it's that bad. If it's with you, you're in your own private bubble or whatever. Now, if you're in the train, I mean, there's laws against it. So then you're going to start losing your house, your car.
Yeah, people get in trouble when they're doing the office.
So it's not worth it. Masturbation isn't hurting anybody. Like, if it's hurting yourself, then I guess, but you don't have to lie to anybody about it. So I wouldn't consider that, as me personally, as something that he has to worry about. I would let him be happy. Get to town, buy the whole big bottle of lotion. go on it. So self-pleasure, there's a thing about self-pleasure. Like, I like to study Tantra, right? I'm not an expert, so don't ask me a whole bunch of questions, but I love energy work, and I love the idea that you can control everything that's going on. So if you're not masturbating when you're not having sex, then you're not training your body right. If you are masturbating just to get a nut to hurry up to the finish scene, then you're training your body to come quick, right? So it's just like any other kind of muscle memory. Your body's going to go, oh, we're having sex, time to come. So then you get premature ejaculations because people just want that feeling. So now with Tantra and energy work, I can displace energy in my body and I can come in 5 minutes or 5 hours. So I use masturbation as a tool to make sure that I can go longer, or to hold it off, or edge myself so that I can be better in bed. I went on this whole like path of how to be the best sex person in the world. I wanted to study it. I wanted to know about it. I wanted to, how am I gonna be better? And that led me to, you know, BDSM or poly or, you know, tantra now. That all of it is just, there's so many levels to it. And I wouldn't say sex addiction, unless you're losing your house, your things, for him to be worried about masturbation.
Yeah, I totally agree as well. I got sick, and I guess because your body is prioritizing, I was sick for like, let's say maybe 12 days and I had no desire. And then another 2 weeks after, I got better, but I still had no desire for masturbation because I guess I was in the flow of it. And then at some point things got built up and I did it. And then I'm back at it, but I don't take it to the extreme of doing it like that's destroying my life. But at the same time, I'm not going to feel shame about, I'm going to stop watching this kind of porn or this and that. And someone else told me that they had to stop watching. Like, I like watching a lot of straight porn lately, or it's like I flip flops. It all depends. And so he's into that as well. But then he was saying how he doesn't like to watch too much because those stuff that he likes are the really kinky stuff. And he doesn't want to see women that way, or because when he's doing it, like he wants to make it real. Cause a lot of, and then I was like, you know, I get it. If you cannot control yourself, so you want to stop watching those things, so you desensitize yourself, because people who are mothers I've seen who are against pornography, they tend to say, porn is not real sex, and the boy's gonna slap and choke somebody or do kinky stuff. And I'm like, well, you can't really say that, because if both parties agree for it to be like that, then of course it's gonna be like the porn. Like, there are some porns that I watch, but I've never done because I don't have the opportunities to. But I like to watch it and things like that. For example, I love watching when they say, oh, I fought my brother-in-law and things like that. It's like, that's hot. But in real life, I would be like, ew, you know?
Right.
But watching it, I guess because it's not family. It's not my direct family. It's someone else's family, then it's hot. Think like example, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of fantasy. You know what? If he's wanting to suppress himself, I you know, I'm an encourager. I want everybody to live out their fantasies without shame, without guilt. So if it's something that he would want to do, I would encourage him to do it. As long as it's not, you know, like you said, hurting other people or whatever. You have two consenting adults that want to do it. If they can do it in the pornos, you can do it in real life. Because I've done a lot of, I've had a lot of fun in my last 13 years of exploring this world. And I wish I could have found my wife now. I'll send you some pictures after this or some videos. From what I was before, it's a whole different book. I definitely have a lot of drama now, but it's all freeing and so much, I have so much more fun.
Wow,
now.
Nice.
So it's going to be a different story.
That's great. A sequel will be great. I have an aspiration to, and of course, it's probably going to take money. There are three points that are my favorite. One is called Harlem Hookup. Another one is called Sketchy Sex. Another one called Hung Brits or something like that. So in those videos, they have a house and people go in and they just do their thing. And I think that's really hot. And actually, where I live in Prospect Park, there is these famous guys. I've gone to one of their parties in Hell's Kitchen, and they have a house. They don't even live there. All the windows are boarded, whatever, and it's hush hush, knock knock, like things like that.
Right.
And people are just having fun. And I thought I came in early, but my number was 78, and I was like, damn. Because they put like numbers on you because of your coat checking because it takes coat check all right. your stuff. And I'm really inspired and I want to have something like that. And I don't care about shame anymore. Like if anyone hears about it, anyone will join me, like sponsor me, give me the money so it can happen. And if it's shameful for you, well, whatever, that's your business.
How freeing is it to be around like-minded people? You know what I mean? You're there, you're enjoying yourself. You find out that these things are okay and acceptable. And listen, my first swinger party when I was at Secrets, well, my first like major resort party, we'll say that. Well, I was at Secrets in Kissimmee, Florida. And I walked in and there was these like four queen size mattresses put together. And there's one mattress sitting on top. And there are a mound of people just all getting in front of me. And I'm like, my people, I found my tribe. You know, yes. Like I'm home.
Yes.
It's so freeing to know that you're not alone in the world. And I think that's what this book kind of does for a lot of people. You're not alone in, you know, I read a lot of percentages of like people's fantasies or what people's number one fantasy or whatever is. And it's like 80% of people want a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah. is like, they're, oh my God, if I could only have a three-way, my life would be complete. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you find somebody or find a group of people that have that same energy and you're able to do those things that you like, oh my God, I thought this was only on TV. And you find out it's like next door and your neighbors are all getting it in too. And you're the sucker at home, you know,
yeah, exactly. About it.
You just kind of you're left in the dark and life's going to pass you by. So like, I want to encourage people that you're not alone. There's nothing new that you're going to come up with where you can't find somebody that is into the same things as you are. And there's so many opportunities to find your people and to find your tribe, so to speak, that social media brings to the table. You can yes. do a couple keywords and you're in a poly group, you're in a swinger group, you're in a whatever kink group that you can think of.
Yeah. So, my housemate told me about something called FetLife.
Right.
FetLife. I was like, oh wow, this is cool how people just being themselves. That's great. So what kind of events do you throw? Or do you throw any events or you've been to events?
Nope, I do throw events. Beyond Lifestyles is at like 10,000 people now.
Yeah.
So we throw events. Most of our group is Florida and Georgia. And because I've been up here, we've been, you know, adding a whole bunch of people from up north. We meet people and those people, you know, basically they love my model wife. She's like, I'm whispering this. She's like 28. She's from Brazil. She's like 5'10". She's incredibly hot. And so I'm my name is Max Styles, but I'm mostly known as husband. That's how husband, the tall white guy. What's his name? That's mostly how I'm known. So people join the
group. That's hilarious.
Helps to meet my wife. But yeah, we host events all over. I'm having a birthday bash in PA, and then I'm having another. We're taking on a trip to Jamaica here in June, and then we're coming back and we're hosting another. She's never gonna see this, so I'll go ahead and say it. We're doing a secret wedding. We got married in Gibraltar, in like this really small office. With promises of doing something more. We didn't have any friends or family because we had to hurry up and rush to get her visa and stuff like that. So and promises of doing something greater. So I'm throwing a secret lifestyle wedding where everybody's going to be dressed in all kinds of colors of the rainbow. Everyone's going to have everything, you know, unicorns. And I want it to be, I'm going to do like a little flash mob, and I don't dance because again, I got white people problems. So, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to have fun with it. I got a group of people that are, you know, supporting me. And so we're doing that event. It's going to be probably one of my most elaborate events in July this year. And then after that, we're hosting an event in August in Georgia, in Atlanta. And that's as far as I've gotten so far for 2022.
That's cool. That's awesome.